Hey, what's going on, Clipper people? It is me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am still positive Chuck Mockler.
And we're a couple of best friends and Clippers credentialed media people who bring you Locked On Clippers 5 days a week.
Absolutely.
Part of the Locked On NBA Network. Check out some other shows on the network if you want to stay informed or check out matchups coming up. In Clippers news, it's Thursday. That means it's Thirsty Thursday. Basically, we talk a little bit about what we want to see more of. So we're going to be talking more about what we want to see from our stars, as well as possibly the young guys, Pat Bev, maybe some schematic talk. In segment two, what is just, you know, a consummate Clippers level of pettiness, the Doc and PG feud rages on.
Seems pretty one-sided at this point, but yeah.
There's been some more comments, so we're going to talk about that. And then in shavings, which is kind of just where we wrap up all the loose ends, we got to talk. The details were released on some of the incentives that Kennard has to meet for that recent extension. And some Paul George nicknames that need to go away, as well as a very poetic voicemail from a repeated caller. So all that and more coming up right about now.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, so welcome to Thirsty Thursdays. I'm just talking what we want. Bit of a slow news day for Clipper stuff after the win over the Lakers, which is kind of nice, but kind of just what we're trying to figure out things we can build on from Tuesday to help make the Nuggets game a little bit easier. The Nuggets do play the night that you're listening to this at 6, so we'll know a little more about what we're kind of in store from them for the Christmas game. But what jumps out in your mind, like what improvements rationally can be made from Tuesday's game to the Christmas Day game?
I don't know if it can be improved, but something that like needs to be built upon is just like the ball pressure and the ability to get in those passing lanes. The Lakers had 19 turnovers last night. We only coughed up 16, and some of that was due to a pretty loose first half, or specifically a pretty loose second quarter. So I think that that's just one of those things. You need to disrupt that ball movement because that, to me, is like what makes that team so scary. And moving forward,
100%.
It's one of those things that targets it targets some of our deficiencies that we've seen. Like sometimes teams sort of going on runs from three. You know, that happens when you're getting really wide open shots. It's easier to collapse a defense. Blah, 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 blah. But I think the biggest thing with that is, you know, we have a lot of guys who are, you know, larger, can cover a lot of ground. I think it's just going to boil down to, for me, communication and you know, avoiding easy cuts and still playing fairly aggressively on ball.
I wonder if we're going to see any more of the zone broken out compared to Tuesday's game, just given the ball movement and stuff like that, and the size of the Nuggets. Not saying I'm like think we absolutely should, but I wouldn't be surprised if we see it brought a little more, especially if Jokic happens to just be killing us.
So what I would worry about with the zone against Denver is I feel like they have the three-point personnel to punish you for running that sort of a lineup. Because I don't know. We'll see what the Jokic surge minutes look like. But, if we can build upon that and it's still working, great. But I'm also all for just throwing it out the window if they're just really making us pay from three. And like, that's we commented on this last night, but just – the beauty of the current setup, honestly, like what gives us the most hope, like what I'm, you know, thirsty and continuing to hopefully is going to be quenched throughout the season is just adaptability. That's just what it comes down to, man. We have the talent. We have, you know, like we have the pieces. It's just being able to strategically move them in the correct way.
Yeah, we're going to see a bunch of stuff thrown out over the whole season and then brought back in pretty quickly, too, with Ty Lue, I feel like. Hopefully Reggie Jackson just stays out, but that's another discussion. Let's talk about our two stars, Kawhi and PG. Kawhi, man, I just want to see, I guess, less three-point attempts. Like, I don't want him taking more three-point attempts than PG, maybe ever. And for PG, basically more of the same, and just get into the line more would be good. Just starting to build that consistency.
Yeah. So, I mean, what I thought was great yesterday was maybe he was hesitant to be aggressive early on. I was kind of reading it as him sort of feeling the flow of the game. He talked about post-game, like he waits for the game to come to him. And I think that sometimes that can be a detriment. You know, you can wait a little too long to pull the ripcord. But one thing...
Thank you, Hillstyle.
Yeah. One thing that I do, I'm thirsty to continue is like, part of why his efficiency is so good is he knows how to get to his spots and he knows like how to establish his rhythm.
Right.
So that's like one of those things that I'm just so thirsty for to continue to see. Obviously, like he had finally had a fully healthy training camp. You know, I do believe that there were some lingering shoulder issues into the bubble, just due to some of the icing situations and of course hush and stuff around it. So I'm thirsty for that like full health, which goes across the board. But for Paul George to just kind of stay smooth and efficient. Getting to the line more is definitely going to be great. Both of these guys to shoulder the sort of offensive load that they're going to need to all season are going to need to take at least five free throw attempts a game. Like I that to me is bare minimum. I think you want to see that closer in like the eight range, which, you know, might be asking too much, but I agree with you on Kawhi, man. I'm thirsty for more efficiency. I know that he can be more efficient than what we saw last night.
Absolutely.
I'm thirsty to see what's going on with the three-point attempts. I don't know if this is just him warming up what we saw last night, or if this is something he's trying to work into his game. I'm not really clear. I don't know why you would... change up your shot selection that much, you know?
Yeah, I think it's a feeling it out thing. It's got to just be like getting legs under him, getting ramped up. Like, he's not going to change his game to an outside guy. I mean, you know, we got the triangle in place, so I hope we see more of that against Denver too.
I'm thirsty to see more of these guys. I thought the amount of defense the guys had for a regular season game last night, I mean, the effort was just great from both of these stars, and that sets the tone for everybody else. I mean, you had Lou Williams diving after loose balls, getting into his passing lanes. It's contagious, man. And, like, I mean, it's just like this. It's going to be the overarching theme for this season, man. It's just like the formula, the foundation, whatever you want to call it. Like, you have to build that and continue to grow upon it.
My thing that I think that's been really cool to see is that Lou was kind of bringing the defensive intensity in the bubble, and it feels like he brought it back. Like, it feels like he brought a little of it back to the regular season right now, which is awesome.
You brought up something last night that I this is just a side note. I'm thirsty to let's put the lid on let's put the lid on the Lou Williams trade stuff for a bit.
Yeah, let's just chill. Let's see what happens.
You said last night that there were moments that makes it unbelievable to think about trading Lou Williams in that game.
Dude, it does. It's like when the offense is not doing anything, every shot he makes looks smooth, so it makes everyone feel good. Speaking of players who maybe aren't as high profile as Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, Patrick Beverley, I'm really looking for him in this game to not get as many senseless fouls. I don't care if he gets three fouls. It's just how he gets those fouls. You know what I mean? Like, don't just be swiping at the ball early in the shot clock on a random possession early in the game. It's going to put him in the bonus. Like, that's really what I want to see him improve on the most as this season goes on. In terms of tangible improvement, staying healthy, great, but you can only do so much with that.
Yeah, no, 100%. Yeah, I'm with that. I'd like to see him sort of work on the driving game maybe a little bit more. He only had four attempts last night that weren't threes, and he made half of them. So I like kind of his little floater game. I think that it's sort of an interesting wrinkle, offensively. And I'm with you. I'm right there with you on the fouls. But for me, that I'm actually extending that a little bit more to Luke Kennard.
Kennard dog.
I can accept the fact that he is a piss poor defender. Like, that's fine. Like, I can accept that he's good enough offensively that I can accept that. I cannot accept fouling 3-point shooters. You cannot foul a 3-point shooter three different times in the same game. And once again, I'm willing to let it slide. It was his first game in a year.
Yeah.
So like I'm willing to let it slide, but I am thirsty to just just to see him tighten up the screws, man. Like, I'm not asking for him to be a great defender. You just can't be making those kinds of silly mistakes, especially late in a defensive possession where you've all but exhausted the time on the shot clock.
Yeah, you can't be a bonehead, is what you're saying. Yes. And in terms of scheme, just last point, we took 40 threes versus the Lakers. Do we want to be at that same range for the rest of the season, or like, where are we at? You know, like,
I think we should absolutely be at that range more than usually.
Yeah, like, I think this is right where I want us to be. I don't think we got to be a crazy 3-point shooting team, because we also have guys who destroy in the mid range and stuff like that. But yeah, I'm loving like this 40 range. I'm all for it. I hope we see a similar number against the Nuggets.
Yeah, I mean, we need to stay around that range. At this point, that's kind of middle of the pack.
Yeah.
So I think staying around 40 is definitely solid. But you have to find sort of that cross-section, you know, of at what point does the efficiency drop to a point where it's no longer, you know, sustainable, which I think that we're still well within our range of keeping that hyper-efficiency from three in the 40 range. Like, it depends always on the quality of the shot, right? The way the ball was moving last night, I'm so comfortable with 40 of those threes.
Yeah.
You know, pull-up transition threes, you know, not as much, not as comfortable. I don't want to see a lot of those, especially from Reggie. But if the ball is moving like it was last night, man, yes, we should absolutely be taking 40 threes a game.
100%. Coming up, let's know what you're thirsty for, too. We have a game preview for y'all. For Friday's episode, of course, against the Nuggets. Coming up, we're going to be talking the ever-extending Doc and Paul George feud. But first, we got to give a shout-out to betonline.ag. They want to know if you're ready for some football, because college football is heading into their pretty weird bowl season. And there's some big matchups this weekend for the NFL as well, some good AFC North competition. If you're looking for a good bet, I'll tell you a great team to bet against with the spread, the Miami Dolphins. I'm pretty sure they might be undefeated against the spread so far this season. There's only one place to do this, though, and the one place we trust. It's betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON, which is all capital letters, one word, for a 50% welcome bonus. Will the Clippers be good against the spread? So far, they're 1-0. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to get that 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet online, your online sports book experts.
Okay, so we're back. And in this segment, we're going to be talking about the ongoing one-sided Doc and PG feud. Not sure if this is going to be a continuing thing all season, but before...
It is.
It is. Spoiler alert, it is. But before we dig into all of that, I got to tell you guys about Locked On Bets. The holidays are about giving, so I'm giving you a hot tip that could earn you some extra cash. The new Locked On Bets podcast is hosted by Lee Sterling of ParamountSports.com. Lee is red hot to start the season, and he shares a lock of the day on every episode. Subscribe to Locked On Bets today, wherever you get your podcasts.
So, this Doc and PG thing, we can say it started by a snippet of PG from the All the Smoke podcast, talking about how he didn't like how he was used under Doc Rivers. Yada, yada, yada. If you listen to the whole thing, he also took ownership for what happened with the collapse. He didn't blame it all on Doc. But now, like, Doc is continuing to talk about this. Everyone other than Paul George is continuing to talk about this, which I think is the most frustrating part of this whole thing. Doc says, you know, he was against the special treatment that Kawhi and PG got. He said he was trying to stop the special treatment. And it's like, that is not true in any way if you were around the team. Like, was him stopping this playing Trez a bunch so we lost? Like, I don't understand how the hell he was trying to stop this.
Well, I mean, you do bring up a valid point. Is that how, like, in his mind, he was trying to counteract something? Like, showing guys that their touches were still important, you know, despite how practices or whatever went out? I don't know. I would hope not, because, I mean, like, that's just not what the job of a coach for a champion.
Dumbest strategy in the world.
Yeah, that's just not what the strategy for a championship aspirational coach should be. But I also have objections to his objections of special treatment, man. Mortgaged our entire future for these two guys. If they want special treatment, get it. They want to practice with an ice cream cone in hand at all times. No problem, man. Whatever you need.
And my thing is, like, don't make it, like, now it's like Doc being like, see all the chemistry stuff, that has nothing to do with me. I was trying to fix the chemistry stuff. And that's just not true. He also mentioned that PG liked him until the playoffs came, which is, again, not a funny joke. Like, maybe make adjustments then. So the players do like the things you're doing in the playoffs, especially when they're not working. Like,
so I want to preface this by saying that Doc is a wonderful human being and like a great dude. But we've kind of seen this time and time again where sort of these locker room struggles come out sort of after the fact, and he kind of puts all the onus on the players.
At least the Celtics got a chip.
Yeah, which I kind of think is a little bit ridiculous. You know, that Celtics locker room was not great at times. There was fighting at times.
They all hate Ray Allen.
Yeah, they all, And I mean, at parts hated each other during that sort of run. And certainly afterwards, I mean, they broke that team up because it was just too toxic. And I mean, going back even to the Lob City stuff, after the Chris Paul trade, after he demanded out, I mean, you know, Doc was saying that he was the kind of player that likes coaches but doesn't want to be coached. And, you know, I think it's one of those things where there's a very clear pattern here. And the personnel is all different, but one person is the same.
Yeah, 100%, dude. And it just feels like this is going to get dragged out like all season. We don't play the 76ers in the regular season. So
are you kidding me?
I'm 99% sure. You can look it up right now. So this is just going to maybe just happen continuously throughout the season and probably only from Doc. People aren't. So the thing that sucks is that, like, you think about media availability, coaches are available a lot more than players like Paul George and stuff like that.
Definitely.
So there's a lot more opportunities to just ask Doc about chemistry stuff. And when you're coaching a team like Philly that has had some chemistry issues, that will probably come up again, they're going to look back and reference the last coaching stop that Doc was at, which was us, where there was chemistry issues. So this is definitely not the last of this, I don't think, which really, really, really sucks. And the hard part is, like, you watch that TNT broadcast for the opener, and they really blasted PG about what he said about Doc, which means they only read the headline and didn't look into the full quote. And pretty much every pundit who was an ex-player is going to be on Doc's side. Like, it's really unfortunate because the Clippers made a lot of these pundits look stupid last season by not being the NBA champions. So I think that's part of it as well. But I think PG is going to have to deal with these questions for a lot. I guess Clippers fans too are going to have to deal with Doc just airing dirty laundry all season.
So I got to circle back to the Sixers thing because I'm now very excited for this matchup.
When is it?
So it's not currently on the schedule, but they're doing that stupid thing where the NBA is releasing the schedule in phases. So far, I believe we only have the first 38 games of the season that are currently on the schedule. So I'm guessing that they will be sometime after that, assuming that the season continues.
Yes. No, it's just annoying. Like, it's annoying on Doc. It's annoying. Like, it's kind of annoying that Paul George said that stuff because, like, you know what's going to happen. But at this point now, it's like it's on the media and it's on Doc.
Man, it's whatever, man. Like, I am fine.
It's a distraction we don't need, which I guess is what makes me the maddest.
I don't think anybody's distracted, though.
I hope. That's
like, I don't think this is getting to the team, man. Watching Paul George last night, I don't think it's getting to him. So
what if PG just flipped? What if he was just on like a fucked up? What if he wore a shirt that just said fuck Doc River?
Or just a more subtle what's up, Doc, after like a huge game.
Oh, man. That'd be a good one. Ooh, but, all right. I'm here for that level of pettiness.
I think that's perfect. But I think the
And there's
thing,
some extracurriculars in this, too.
Oh, of course, man. It's inseparable, the relationship between PG and Doc's daughter. Like, there's no way that they were ever past that on the court. You cannot tell me that they were ever past that on the court.
No.
I don't care how professional you are, man. Like, close family, it's just a little bit different.
Yeah.
But I guess what I wanted to say was that I'm kind of fine with this year. The only time you're going to hear about the Clippers, essentially, is when we're getting dragged.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe by Doc Rivers. I hope the 76ers just play horribly, and that's no ill will towards 76ers fans or the players, just so Doc has to deal with the Philly media. just so he has to deal with the Philly media compared to the LA media. Because it's a lot different over there when you're not playing well than when you're the Clippers coach.
Yes.
People were booing Joel Embiid less than a year ago at home for that team. So, like, it's going to be interesting. Obviously, we're members of Paul George's army, generaled by Carl Tart, of course. Let us know what you think. It seems like both sides are kind of at fault, but Doc is kind of having a weird amount of fun dragging this out, and it just makes it honestly seems like he's coming off worse looking. For someone who's been described as a player's coach, this isn't a ringing endorsement of that. Coming up, we're going to be talking Luke Kennard's incentives for his, some think, too large contract with the Clippers, and just being pretty psyched on the fact that we have a couple superstars who want to be here.
Okay, so we're back with shavings. We got to talk about this Luke Kennard contract, all the incentives, as well as just some Paul George nicknames that need to be retired. But before that, let me tell you about Locked On Women's Basketball. Locked On Women's Basketball is the only daily podcast covering the world of women's hoops. Join all-star cast of hosts each day of the week for a comprehensive look at the worlds of the WNBA, women's college basketball, and international competition that you simply won't find anywhere else. Subscribe to Locked On Women's Basketball on your favorite podcast provider.
Please do. Also, would like to point out favorite in this copy spelled the Canadian way, which is pretty interesting. So we're talking Luke Kennard's incentives after this season. So they don't count for this season. It's for his new contract, of course. He gets a little over $600K for 66 games played or 1,772 minutes for an 82-game season. He gets just under $500K for playing in the first round of the playoffs, $140K for making the Western Conference Finals, $140K for winning the finals, and $140K for making the finals, $190K for winning the entire championship. And then the most interesting one that seems borderline controlled by the coaches, a little over $300,000 for having a defensive rating under 105. All of these kind of make sense to me in terms of things he can do, but the defensive rating one is pretty much out of his control for the most part, right? Like, that's a lineup stat.
Yeah, totally. I think that it makes sense as insurances to get these incentives in place. I think you're looking at, like, the incentives on the contract are somewhere in the neighborhood of, like, 1.8 or 1.9 million, which is, you know, just kind of under a vet min that you would take that you could add a rostered player for. Certainly you could roster a rookie or something like that with that amount of cap left. I agree with you on the defensive rating thing being a little bit bizarre. I'm really curious to see how that works out. I mean, we were talking before the podcast. If the majority of his time is spent like running point on the second unit and his defensive rating is under 105, the Clippers are just smashing the league.
Yeah, like if our backcourt rotation is Lou Will and Luke Kennard, and somehow Luke Kennard's defensive rating is under 105, like, that's unbelievable. Like, I mean, I also was reading way too far into it, and maybe that's indicative that he won't be playing with the second unit because they understand how defensive rating works and what lineups are good. Or they have plans on moving on from some of the not as good defensive players. I'm not going to say who, because we've talked about how it would hurt to trade that person. But yeah, this is just that's one of the more interesting incentives he has.
Were you talking about Pat Patterson? How it would hurt to move on from him?
No, I have. Yes, he's such a pillar of team chemistry, Pat Patterson. But yeah, I mean, shout out to Luke Kennard. I hope he gets all of these. It means we won a finals. I do find it interesting. There's no incentive for being named finals MVP. What if my man just goes off?
I think Steve Ballmer just will give him a Billy for that.
Yeah. What if he locks up Ben Simmons in the finals? What if Kennard's on Giannis and does a great job? Shout out to Luke Kennard. I hope you get all of these incentives. We should talk about the Harden thing a tiny bit, right?
Yeah. I think that we should talk about it because it does have implications for the season with the game being canceled. The night that we're recording this, it'll be yesterday's news by the time you listen to this tomorrow, but they ended up canceling the Rockets-Thunder game.
Yeah, and I mean, Harden's getting fined $50,000 for going to a nightclub, which is so funny because there was a video, what, 2 weeks ago of him literally giving Lil Baby $100,000 in cash. So something tells me that Harden's not going to be too worried about this. But so this whole Harden situation, I feel awful for Rockets fans. He's holding the team hostage. He's new coach, new GM. Like, it's a nightmare. It makes me feel a little bit of schadenfreude, obviously, because we have two stars who want to actually be here.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the Clippers have two guys who are like, we would love to play for this team. And we're not going to, I don't know, it's horrible. Harden's got to get moved, right? Like, he has to go.
I would think so.
Disciplined somehow harder than $50,000. He makes $200 a minute, I think, when he's on the court, based on his contract.
Yeah. I mean, it's really difficult because if this is, you know, acting out purely to force a trade, I mean, I guess good job, buddy. I mean, you did it. it's not great. But I do think that there's probably some people around the league falsely thinking that his value is lower because of this situation than it is.
He's still a top 10, top 5 player. Like, that's what's so hard. That's why this is an unprecedented situation. I'm sure there's been superstars who've been unhappy before, but that was pre-social media and pre-Instagram detectives and stuff that we have now, you know what I mean? Where you could actually go to a party and no one would have to know about it. But now it's like, dude, that's not how this works. Like, someone has a camera phone out and they will get your picture. But shout out to Kawhi and Paul George for behaving the exact opposite of James Harden. Now we got to get into the pandemic-related Paul George nicknames. These got to stop, right?
Like, dude, Pandemic P, like, I, you know, I'm not just trying to be sensitive here as a Clippers fan. It's a little bit messed up.
It's absurd. Like, and like Pfizer P because he got the vaccine and they're like, oh, Pandemic P got vaccinated. Dude, it's horrifying. Like,
yeah.
It's just got to stop. Like, it's getting, and this ties into a little bit too, but I don't know if you've been following this De'Aaron Fox and Amon feud.
So I just heard the audio from Amon today.
Amon said that De'Aaron Fox, like, he's like, Ja Morant is who De'Aaron Fox think he is. Apropos of nothing, which, like, A, I don't think De'Aaron Fox thinks he's Ja Morant because that would make no goddamn sense. And De'Aaron Fox has played in the league a lot longer, so he knows what kind of player he is. And De'Aaron Fox, like, was like, called him a bitch, which has its own connotations. Take it how you will. And then, like, Amon just doubled down on it and was like, well, he got offended. Like, he's not built for this business. And you're like, no, man. Like, you're just being a dick. And it's not helpful in any way. Like, it's helping you for sure. You're getting a bunch of press. You get to go on these things and have a few with De'Aaron Fox. He used to work in NBA front offices. He doesn't anymore. It's this toxicity that Definitely. Is getting into NBA fandom that is really, like, it's creeping up, and I don't like it.
Well, so here's the thing, right? Like, I think that the jokes over facts thing is funny if you're acknowledging that it's a joke. I think that, like,
it's actually funny.
It's, like, gotten to the point now where, like, that's not a funny thing to say to just, like, dump on some dude's career with, like, no real analysis behind it.
None.
And we've seen this, too. Like, I mean, I think people legitimately think that Paul George is not good. Like, there are people
they do.
Who even watch basketball who think that Paul George is not good. And, you know, like, it's just one of those things where it's gotten to a point where, you know, sort of the online culture surrounding basketball has gone from, like, this kind of fun mix of, like, you know, stats and messing around and screwing around to, like, I just do really feel like there's this whole rhetoric and this sort of extremism around fandom that's, I think, troubling. It's, like, not that fun for me. It's not fun for me.
And this is an ESPN guy, right? Like, and I don't want to discredit us. This isn't us saying it, right? Like, this is someone who has a way bigger platform who can really do damage to this thing and, you know, really influence how fans of the NBA as a whole feel about stuff. I don't know. It just sucks. And I don't know what has to happen, but, like, I mean, Clippers fans are also pretty good about this kind of stuff. I do think just being, I'm on Clippers Twitter a lot, probably too much. There's not as much toxicity. Like, I really like how our fan base conducts themselves online, which is good.
Continue to do so, y'all.
Suns fans, if you happen to be on Twitter. Like, Kings fans. It's almost like teams that don't have a lot of success know how to handle being shit on. Yeah, but, you know, shout out Paul George. I hope he's doing okay. And we're going to close this thing out with an old friend. You know him, you love him. The Clippers bro just has a fantastic way to let us out on this this Christmas Eve episode.
Ho, ho, ho. Listen, bro, it's me just calling in to wish you guys a Merry Clipsmas. Our guy Slade, the second best team in LA, and everything looks like it's gonna be okay. I've been trying to tell you guys. Now that Trez can't make a mess and Jovan is Govan, this team is the cream of the crop. Just remember, bros, it's Clips and PG till I DIE. I'll hang up and listen.
All right.
Nothing better.
Happy Clipsmas to everybody. We'll still have a show for you tomorrow. We're going to have a preview of that Clippers versus Nuggets. We'll have a Love, Merry Quarantine for you. And, you know, whatever else is kind of kicking around Clipperland.
Oh, yeah. And maybe we'll do a quick hitter for the post-game stuff, depending what happens. Might be a little tipsy. Who knows what's going to go down. Will, where can these fantastic people give the gift of telling people where to listen to us?
Yes, I like that. Give the gift by telling your friends and family to check us out on iTunes or the podcast app. We're also on Google Podcasts. We're on Spotify. We're on Stitcher. We're on Deezer. You can even tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Clippers. If you haven't already, please subscribe. It really helps us out. It's going to be an exciting season. The Clips are further along than we thought through one game.
Hell yeah. I mean,
peaks and valleys. Peaks and valleys, my friends, for sure. But if you like what we're doing over here, go ahead, leave a rating or review. We'll definitely read it on air.
100%. Thank y'all so much. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.